direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, you see, what happened was I was minding my own business and looking at email about a month or so ago, and I'm besieged with stuff from publicists, usually for the radio stations I have in Arizona, and usually they go right into the circular file unread. But this one caught my attention because it said Chicago author. I went, maybe not for my radio stations, but perhaps on WGN. So I wrote and asked for a copy of the book. And Charlene Wexler was kind enough to send me two of them. And I read them cover to cover. And I thought, this is just perfect. So if you are a Chicagoan, you will love this. And I'm not alone in saying this because just last month, the Illinois General Assembly issued a resolution. Now, as you know, we don't discuss politics on this show, no matter what, but this isn't politics, trust me. It's House Resolution 141, whereas the members of the Illinois House of Representatives wish to congratulate Charlene Wexler of Richmond on being presented with the 2025 Senior Illinoisan Hall of Fame Award and on being inducted into the Senior Illinoisans Hall of Fame. And whereas each year the Department of Aging presents the Senior Illinoisan Hall of Fame Award, and we go on and say, in this case, to Charlene, who is a native Chicagoan, a graduate of the University of Illinois, and the award-winning author of several novels, poems, and collections of short fiction and essays, including Laurie, The Elephants in the Room, Farewell to South Shore, Milk and Oranges, Murder Across the Ocean, and Murder on Skid Row. It was that last book that came to my attention. And that's what I asked for. Although the latest book, man, got me spellbound, but we'll get to that. Charlene's journey as a writer began when her son Jeffrey was diagnosed with leukemia at age 8. And during her son's illness, Charlene kept a journal as a form of therapy. And when her son died at age 12, she channeled her grief into her first novel, Laurie, which is just terrific. Her work has appeared in a variety of publications. She's received many honors, including a Global Book Award in the contemporary fiction category, as well as a Four Seasons Book Award for Farewell to South Shore. Yeah, that's the one. We're going to talk about that and others. And so by writing about strong women, the women's movement, family relations, and the loss of a child in a manner that weaves together both laughter and sorrow, and by creating historical fiction that draws from the experience of her life, Charlene Wexler inspires her readers to adhere to her life advice. Follow your dream. You can do it. It's never too late. Indeed. Now, what it was about the books that really, really grabbed me, other than that they were a pleasure to read, is that when we look at things historically, we get all the facts and the figures and what politics did and what the government did in other ways and all that. But in terms of a real glimpse into life and the life of a people at a point in time, usually that's lacking. And that's what Charlene's books give to us, that and more. So, Charlene, we say welcome to 720 WGN Radio. And I say welcome, and she's not there. All right, this is me. I'm sure this is me. Oh, I know why it's me. Okay, so let's do it again.
Great there introduction, and thank right. you for allowing me on your show.
Oh, I'm thrilled about this, actually. As I say, there aren't many things that really provide a look into historical things that happen in an area. We'll hear that an area was gentrified or devolved into Skid Row or whatever, but we don't usually hear the backstories, the stories of the people and all of the things behind it. And that's what your novels do, and I think it's terrific.
Thank you very much.
Now, I must... Go ahead.
No, I'll let you go first.
I was going to say, I must say that when I read Farewell to South Shore, I could relate to so much of it, not so much firsthand, but your characters were so well-defined that, Sherry, the star of this book and her first marriage, I swear I had a good friend whose daughter was Sherry and lived the exact same marriage that you pointed out in that. And it was fascinating to read it because I said, you know, this really hits home. And I'm sure that if people will read your novels, they're going to find the same thing about the characters and about Chicago.
I've been told this a lot, that I do a very good job on characters. And I'll tell you something funny about Farewell to South Shore. That book is based on my upbringing, especially the beginning of it. I grew up in a family building where the book starts. And I had a cousin call me who was very, it's fiction based on truth. Based on, you know, a real story. And I had a cousin call me who was extremely upset because I put a male cousin in the building, and we didn't have any boy cousins. Yeah. She really didn't realize how much of it was fiction, even though I said that, based on the truth.
Well, in the way you wrote it, she related to it as fact. And I must say, you captured me in chapter one when your grandfather was on the roof. So it's a fun read.
Right. Well, I started with the first part of the book with the family building. And then I left it sitting for a couple years until I realized where I wanted to go with it. And it was basically when Roe versus Wade was attacked, and I realized how much we had gained in the 70s, and now it was being taken away again. And most of my books are based on strong women.
Yes, and Sherry, the character, Sherry Paul, really, really is a strong woman. But, you know, it's interesting. I know there's that political backstory, but it really was more of the character development and what she was going through herself that I found interesting. But also watching Chicago over the decades and how it changed. So I got to ask you, you started out in the South Side of Chicago, and a lot of years since then, what are the things that went away that you miss the most?
The things that went away.
Yeah, you know how times change.
Right, right. And I write mainly about the early years. Farewell to South Shore basically was taken from the 60s on to about 2000. What I miss the most is probably South Shore. And I've had so many people that have emailed me or talked to me or come out of the woodwork because South Shore is no longer a safe neighborhood. And it was sort of a village neighborhood where we grew up, where the telephone was, you know, families looking, talking to each other in the stoop or looking out the window. And felt safe as kids in the 50s until the late 60s, where you could be out all day and come home when the lights turned out.
Sure.
You know, it's just sort of a village that a lot of cities had, but it's no longer there.
Which is
and it
very
sort
sad.
Of, it, right. Farewell to South Shore is kind of a metaphor for a time and a place you can't go back to.
And I think that's true about all cities. When people have asked me, and I've lived in 32 cities, they say, what's your favorite? I always say, well, cities only exist in time. So you have to talk about it based on the time, not the way it is now, because everything changes.
Right.
And sometimes for the better, because, for instance, in the other novel that you sent to me that I really liked, Murder on Skid Row, it really came full circle that, you know, back to an area that was very livable. Is very livable.
Right, right. Murder on Skid Row, basically, I based that in the 60s when my husband was going to dental school, University of Illinois, and he was right near that area. And it talks about two pharmacists that are killed.
Yeah.
and my husband happened to know the pharmacist. So we were walking down the area, and it's a beautiful area now. It's by Greek Town. Mm-hmm. It has award-winning buildings. And I looked at it, and we remembered it in the 60s. And that's what made me decide to write the novel about a time that's no longer there and about an area that Chicago probably never wants to talk about. We kind of, today, we have illegal immigrants that are homeless, but the Skid Row area in the 60s was a different homeless. It was all pretty much Americans. And most of them were Vietnam veterans that were hooked on drugs, mainly because they came back to a time where nobody liked them any longer in the late 60s.
Right. They were vilified. That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So it's like I say, it's just a terrific look into the areas because, again, if you and other people like you, and there aren't enough of them actually, aren't writing things like this, the culture will just disappear. People will not know how it was.
Oh, definitely. That's why I write. Well, I'm 82 now, so I write about a lot of things in the past, more so than the present. But several of my books, two of my books are actually essays and short stories that they say are laughter and tears.
Yeah, absolutely. They are compelling. And I think even more so for people who know the areas, or even if they know the areas later, to take a look at how it was. When I looked up the South Shore community, I found it fascinating, even long before you were around, the 1800s and stuff, and the bungalows that came in the early 1900s. And this was a very affluent area. And so it was...
It came around after the World's Fair of 1893, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when the area was first built up.
Right, because the Columbian Exposition was in Jackson Park.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, just fascinating. I assume some of those bungalows are still there.
I grew up in a building in Hyde Park, first Hyde Park and then South Shore. I was born in 1943, and the building was already old. And my granddaughter is going to the University of Chicago, and we walked over and took a picture in front of the building. I was hoping somebody was home to let me in, but nobody was around. But in my book, Farewell to South Shore, actually I'm getting the books mixed up in the next book that's coming out in about a month. One of the characters in Farewell to South Shore is a grandmother named Tilly, and she becomes 100 in this next book, and she wants to take the family back to see South Shore, and everyone's afraid to go because the area has changed so much. But that's the next book that's coming out in a month.
Oh, that's
but
great.
Aunt Tilly is very popular in Farewell to South Shore.
Well,
she's
sure.
She's the typical ethnic mother, grandmother that could, she's Jewish, but she could be Greek or Italian or, any ethnic.
Right, the immigrant, sure. In fact, on Farewell to South Shore, the first sentence, you get to meet Tilly because she's the one who's worried about Grandpa being on the roof.
Right, she's the one that, at the time in the 50s, there was always a grandpa or a father that was the head of a family, but it was actually the women that controlled it.
Which is
very interesting. They had their own ways of... the man makes the decisions, but the women knew how to work them there.
Right. Yeah.
And maneuver them. Yeah. And Tilly was really the head of the family.
Now, I also read that surprised me was that I guess it was the 1950s when the population peaked in the South Side. And since then, it's been declining in population, which I did not realize. I know the complexion of the neighborhood had changed in many ways and over the years, many ways. The last I had heard is in the 90s, it was a middle class African-American primarily. What is it like today?
Today, unfortunately, it's a very dangerous area to be in.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's got too many gangs, and unfortunately, it's not a great area any longer.
And you know, though, long after you and I are gone, it may turn around, just like Skid Row did.
Right, right. It would be nice if it does.
Yeah.
I have so many people that have come out of the woodwork talking to me about living near. It was sort of like a village, its own little village.
Yeah. Well, I think it's terrific that you're doing this as far as these books. And you're getting them published, which is wonderful. As I put on the website on Raleigh.net that it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and all about that. And, of course, as well as directly from speakingvolumes.us. So I just think it's terrific. Now, you know, a lot of people say, I've got a story in me, I'd like to write, but actually doing it, well, that's a very different story. And so, you know, I understand about, you know, the journals when you were younger and sadly having to go through what you did with your son at a time when leukemia sadly was an absolute death sentence. But what prompted you to actually say, I'm going to do it? Because like I say, a lot of people say, you know, I'd like to, I've got a novel in me, but nothing happens. What made you take it into action?
Well, I tell that people you're never too late to start. And I probably always wrote for myself. It was my therapy. And then I started to put some short stories on Facebook or on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I got such great responses. And then we retired to the country. We're on, like, Wisconsin border.
Uh-huh.
And it gave me time. And I started to write, and it became my therapy. But I'm telling everybody, it's never too late. Like, I started in, you know, late 60s.
Yeah.
But like I said, I had always written for myself. And then I got a lot of encouragement from friends and my sister and from family.
That's wonderful. We're talking with Charlene Wexler, and if you'd like to join us, if you have South Shore memories or Chicago memories in general, we'd love it. 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE, or we'll pick it up from there right after the news on WGN Radio.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman. Way over town, good to me. Oh yeah, she give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, she says loving early in the morning, just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving early in the morning, just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving just for me. Yeah, she loves me so tenderly. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Ray Charles, I Got a Woman was Linda in Richland Park who requested that, 1960 on Atlantic, and happy to play it. We're talking with Charlene Wexler, and we'll get back to it in a moment. We got Gail in Downers Grove who's going to share some South Shore memories as well. But, you know, it's interesting. I didn't mention how many notable people grew up or lived in the area. And it's fascinating. Larry Ellison from Oracle, born in 1944, raised in the South Shore community. Enrico Fermi, right, physicist. Obviously, don't have to tell you, a creator of the world's first nuclear reactor, raised in the South Shore. And on the list goes, from politicians and writers too, and we'll get to that, to musicians. Bo Diddley lived on the South Shore for a while, and many others as well. Jesse Jackson raised his entire family there. Yeah, so Gene Krupa was a childhood resident of South Shore. This is really going back. Ramsey Lewis resided later in South Shore. So quite the area. And Susie Orman, the financial advisor on the radio. And much later than Charlene and I, but Michelle Obama was born and raised on the South Side. So it's rarefied company, to say the least. And you should, and I'm sure are, Charlene, very proud of the heritage of the area.
I want to ask you a question while just going off the line.
Sure.
Do you remember Franklin McCormick?
Oh, of course, of course, on WGN overnights and the poetry and all of that, sure.
Right, his poetry, and that's when we were kids, we listened to him.
Oh, of course.
I just thought of it now because you have a long late night show, and he did too. We came on real late.
Yeah. No, I didn't know him, but later doing overnights on WGN was Eddie Schwartz, who was a good friend of mine. And I always liked listening to him on overnights as well. But yes, people still talk about the poetry and all the things Franklin would do. And a lot of that stuff is still available on vinyl if you look for it. So
I have one of his books that was signed. I remember meeting him years ago. Right. It just occurred. I was just thinking of that when you were talking about the people from South Shore.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to say, too, like, I grew up at a time right before, my sister's about 6 years younger, and she got involved in the 60s and what was going on. I was still in the 50s and early 60s.
Sure.
And I went to college where you went for your MRS degree.
Right, exactly.
But then later, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, kind of encouraged me to get more into the women's movement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's what I ended up writing a lot about the 70s and women's, you know.
Absolutely, and I want to get into some of that. But Gail wants to join us, and Gail is in Downers Grove. So, Gail, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi. It's been very enjoyable listening to both of you. And I do miss my Eddie Schwartz. I'm a WGNer forever, and I'm a night person, so I have missed him.
Me too.
He was a lot of fun on the radio.
And he knew everybody.
My gosh.
Yeah.
And the food drive.
Yeah.
He had such a good heart.
Yes.
And so many complications, but I know he's at peace, so thankfully for that, you know?
Yeah.
But the reason I called is I just wanted to comment when Charlene mentioned about not being able to go to the South Side right now. And I have sort of the same problem, but I just want to tell a little story because my dad's youngest brother, Evert Bergquist, they came from Sweden as immigrants here, back in the, I guess the 20s. And he just passed away last year at 103, and he had been in World War II and was on Normandy Beach. And so for his 90th birthday, all he wanted was his family to come in from around the world to have a reunion, which we'd never done before. And he had rented a huge white fancy van, and he took us all from Hinsdale Country Club, where he belonged, to the South Side and gave us a tour during the day, during the week. And it was a beautiful fall day. His birthday was October. And we got to go to every house that our family had built on the south side on different avenues. My grandfather, my grandfather was a builder there, and he built each one of his kids an apartment building. And they lived all on the same street, and, you know, so on and so forth. But as soon as we pulled up in this beautiful white van, we all get out, it's a gorgeous day. Everybody comes out of all the buildings on the street. And they greeted us with open arms and said, sure, come to the property, you know, come to the backyard where all the, you know, the decks are and the garages and, you know, welcome. They just welcomed us with open arms.
That's wonderful.
And we had so much fun talking to all of them. And as we drove down the streets, he would point out, my grandfather had a furniture store. He was he made furniture from Sweden. He was very talented. And he sold it. So he took us by his first furniture store and things like that, you know, neighborhood things. And then my uncles all went together after World War II. They were all in the Army. They opened up. Everybody had Venetian blinds in their, you know, their two flats and so forth. And they opened a Venetian blind company for, many years. That's what they did after they got out of the Army. One was a salesman, one was in the store, and the other one was manufacturing. So it was kind of fun. We had the best weekend. I mean, it was just everything about it was memorable. And we even got to Oakwood Cemetery where they're all buried, you know, the original family. But again, it's not an easy thing to go out there. I'm so glad we did it when he was alive, and that was on his bucket list.
Great story. What year?
Well, I was trying to figure. He just died a year ago, and he was born, I think, around... my dad was born in 1918, so he must have been born in 1921, I'd say, or 22.
Okay.
So I don't know. It was maybe, 20 years ago now.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember. I'm not good at math going backwards.
Great story, Gail.
Gail, I want to tell you, I think you wrote my new book, the second in the series. It's called Welcome Back, and Aunt Tilly hires a bus for her 100th birthday to go back to South Shore.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
I must have been thinking of your family unconsciously when I wrote it.
Oh, that's great.
That's wonderful.
One of my family members came back after that weekend, and about 2 weeks later, we have a complete book of pictures and day by day and time by time. And, he took us to Fermi Lab and stuff like that. We got a Saturday tour because we knew somebody, so we got to go in there, and it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
It was just fun. And it's a great memory for me. We've lost so many people, you know, like everybody does.
Yeah.
And I have the book. Everybody has the book, so that's good. And he was just a tremendous human being. So, you know.
Great stories, Gail. Thank you.
Well, you'll have to read my book.
Yes.
We won't go back.
I will.
It has Aunt Tilly in there insisting on going, renting a bus and taking the family back to South Shore.
I think I should come take you to lunch, and then I'll bring my book, and we'll sit down, and you can use whatever you want out of my book, the pictures, anything, but it's really well done.
It's already being published now, some kind of way. It sounds like. I must have been thinking of your family when I put it together. Oh, thank you.
All right, Gail. Well, thanks for calling.
All I ask is that tomorrow you think about me because I'm laying here relaxing. I played housekeeper because tomorrow I'm having my right knee replaced.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be
down
for a few weeks.
Well, Gail, I'll keep you in my prayers, and I'm sure Charlene will too, and everybody else.
Thank you.
Let me
appreciate it.
And let me know how it goes, Gail. I want to hear from you afterwards.
Oh, thank you kindly for that. I appreciate all the thoughts.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. Have a lovely evening. Stay well.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And we're talking with Charlene Wexler. I can't wait to hear about the next book, and we will in moments right here. But if you listen to this show, I know you love radio, or you wouldn't put up with me. And if you do, you probably know all about the Sea Crane Company. But if you don't, Bob Crane, like many of us many decades ago, was just disgusted with the state of radio reception. The radios that were being built were just awful, and he said, I could do better. And he did. And that is the one thing that every radio he has developed has in common. It just has the best reception for AM and FM of any radios out there. But many of them have a number of other features as well. And one of the neatest ones is the CC Radio 3. It's what John keeps by his bedside. It's the almost everything radio because it's got the addition of Bluetooth. So if you like to listen to podcasts or online shows and you're saying, sure don't want to do that on the phone, well, just use the CC Radio 3 and get a world-class speaker. It sounds wonderful. It's also got emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band, which is a lot of fun as well. And if you listen primarily to voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone. Audio quality for the spoken word sounds like the host is sitting right next to you. It'll run on the included power cord, but a set of batteries over 170 hours. In fact, if you're not listening to it at high volume, over 250 hours. You can read all about it at ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. You can order right online. For faster shipping, you can go to Amazon or Bi-Mart or REI. But for the real deal experience first, go to ccradio.com. It's a catalog with great products and great information about radio as well. Now, if you're saying, but I can't go online, that's all right. They've got the world's best customer service. Call them. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Ask for a catalog. They'll mail one to you free of charge. You can look through it to your heart's content. You can order online and they'll answer all your questions too. So whether it's 800-522-8863 or ccradio.com, you've got it made if you're a radio fan. Look at that CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out of the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
I'm Raleigh James. That's Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? Somehow fitting. But last night, and this is terrible, I don't remember who requested it, but I've said I'll play it tonight, 1969 on Capitol. Yeah, normally Carol World's Best Show Prep keeps me honest, because I wouldn't remember any of this without her. But she was unavailable last night, so I'm on my own, and I don't remember. So my apologies if it was you, but you heard it anyway. We're talking to Charlene Wexler, and hours going by far too fast. And so I want to know, Charlene, the next book, you say it's at the publisher. When will it be released?
Probably the end of the month, another month.
Oh, good.
It's the second in the series with Farewell to South Shore. So you'll find out what happened to many of your favorite characters in that book.
Oh, good. Good. Well, that sounds...
And it has some new stories also.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm positive of that. So I was asking before about, because it's still, I think, fascinating that, you know, you hit middle age, a lot's going on, and you managed to get published. And of course, everybody else who has a book in their heart wouldn't even know how to get a publisher. So I got to ask, how did you do that? Because obviously, you know, I don't think your background was literary. Your husband's a dentist. How did you find a publisher?
I started out not just publishing myself on Amazon. And then I found an agent who liked my books. she read Lori, and she knew someone I knew, and she became my agent, and she got a publisher for me. And I'm very happy with my publisher, speaking volumes. But also, I have to say, a publisher pushes you to do a lot of marketing. Yeah. And that's not my best place because I'm getting older. I'm, like I said, 82, and I'm not real good. Now, this has been wonderful, but I'm not real good at traveling.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm sure. I wouldn't want to make those rounds either. And in a way, I feel guilty that I called you to put you through this, but I figured everybody in Chicago would want to hear about this.
This was wonderful. I can sit in my kitchen and talk to you and talk to your audience.
Absolutely.
I'm not too good at the marketing where I have to be traveling around.
Yeah. Well, this show, I record them, and it'll be on Raleigh.net in perpetuity, so people can go to the downloads page and hear it if they missed it this time. And I want to hold you to one thing. When the book comes out, give me a call, let me know, and we'll promote it.
Thank you very much. I'll make sure I send you a copy.
Oh, I'd love that. I would absolutely love that. Well, I'm so impressed that you did it because, as I say, so many people say, I got to write a book. They do nothing. You did it, and you're living the dream at 82, and I think you're successful enough that you can tell your publisher, I'm not going on the road.
Right.
All right.
Thank you very much. It's so good.
Oh, my pleasure, Charlene. Absolutely, and thanks for writing them. I really did enjoy reading them.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Charlene. All right. So
all right.
That was Charlene Wexler, Farewell to South Shore, Murder on Skid Row are the two she sent me, but there's many others as well. And, of course, now that I've hogged Charlene all hour, the calls are lining up. Well, you can talk to me. I don't know nearly as much about the South Side, but you know WGN's Dean Richards does. He was born and raised there. All right, so we'll get back to it next hour right here on WGN Radio.